Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation, chapter 5. Would like to read verse 8 today. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. When I was young, I grew up in the latter years of the hippie movement. I was about 7 when the peace movement was in style. The counterculture was in full swing. The anti-establishment, free love, drug-using crowd made its mark. With it came that flower power and incense. When I was about 12, we had some hippies who lived beside us. And I recall one guy who was, he was a drug user, and he liked to make candles, and he always burnt his incense. Spent too much time over there, by the way, but I'm glad God protected me and sheltered me. I remember a time when my older sister went through a phase of burning incense. Well, it doesn't seem to be so much in vogue today as it was then. Either that, I'm just out of all the circles. But I noticed at the gas station the other day that they had incense for sale. So I'm quite sure that you all are knowledgeable of incense and the aromas which they produce. Sometimes they are used for religious purpose. At other times, they are simply for the aromatic atmosphere. Honestly, I'm not aware of any supposed Christian usage of incense outside of the Catholic Church. Now, my purpose is not to address the modern use of incense, nor to invoke its use in our church. Rather, I mention it because we find it addressed in our text. Well, why this verse, you may ask? Well, I was reading this passage a couple weeks ago in my daily Bible reading, and I was just really impressed by it. The matter of prayer and the imagery that's used to convey its importance before God grabbed my attention. Therefore, I thought it necessary to reflect upon our text and consider the subject of prayer. Sometimes it's hard for a Christian to pray. Sometimes a believer might even consider giving up praying. Before you do so, ponder this text. I would like to speak to you about prayer today. The title of my message is Christian Incense. Hopefully this isn't so strange and it'll make sense to you. Christian incense. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we just come to honor you, to worship you. We pray the songs that have been sung have been to your praise and to your glory. Lord, that you've heard our prayers, and we know that you like for us to pray. We ask that you would bless this portion of our service as we look into your word. I pray for direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit, that which you laid upon my heart to deliver to your people at this time, and I pray that you would take it and use it and apply it as only you can. We ask if there's any here today that is not saved, that you would save them. We pray for those of us who are saved, that we would recognize the importance of prayer and your desire for us to do so. And Lord, we just leave these things before you today. We love you, we honor you, we bless your holy name. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, and it's for his sake. Amen. If you paid attention as we read through the verse 8, there was a mention of incense. Perhaps you weren't thinking of that as we read through the text because there are so many other things that were mentioned there. But the thought of incense, and so as I think about Christian incense today, I want to address this verse and think about, and it's going to be necessary to understand the setting that we find here. And then we'll look at some other applications of the text as we go through that and consider what we find. But as we think about these verses, this verse before us, especially the end of the verse where it talked about the 24 elders having golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, I thought it necessary to remind you of incense. According to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it says the offering of incense or the burning of aromatic substances is common in the religious ceremonies of nearly all nations, such as the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Phoenicians, and so on. Very, very familiar, and it's still in the Eastern cultures today, incense is greatly prevalent. It was a natural thing to find incense in a prominent place of worship, especially when it came to the tabernacle and it came to the temple services. They used incense. Now, when you think of incense, as it arises in the Old Testament, the main root for the Hebrew word that's translated there means technically to smoke. And so you think of that which is to burn into fragrance by fire. And so if you know anything about incense, at least the incense I've seen came in sticks, you'd light it and the smoke would rise up off of it. In the Old Testament scriptures, they would take coals and take fire and they would sprinkle the incense into the fire, which and then would catch on fire and would smoke up. Thus the word to smoke, and so it is to turn into fragrance by fire, especially as an act of worship, and so it is to burn. Therefore, it's the matter and the translation of incense. It's the matter of and the idea behind it of a sacrifice. The word means to kindle. It means to offer. It can be used in a very similar Hebrew term, means to fumigate in a closed space. Well, that's the idea behind incense, but there's a secondary consideration, and a derivative from that word means a fumigation, and is translated as a sweet incense or a perfume. I won't ask today how many of you wore perfume, but I would summarize that you ladies put on a little bit of dab of perfume, and you want to smell nice. The guys, they put on a little bit of cologne so that they can smell nice. Well, the idea behind that second thought is a fumigation, a sweet smell that comes from it. So the incense was in great use throughout the Old Testament, still in the East today, and we know what incense is, the smell of it. Now, if you'll remember, when Moses was instructed to create the tabernacle in the wilderness, one of the items of the furniture was the altar of incense, a very important item of furniture that he had to construct. And this was a box that was made of shittim wood, and it was 1 cubit square, and then 2 cubits high. It was overlaid with gold. It had a gold rim around the top. It had horns on it. It had gold, and all that was overlaid with gold, and it was had gold rings on it where they put the staves, and those were the posts by whereby they would carry the ark, the altar of incense. And on that altar of incense, all it was a square box, and they would bring a censer. They would take the coals from off the sacrifice of the altar, and they would bring it in, and they would, and this, the altar of incense was right before the veil, the Holy of Holies, in the holy place. And they would put the censer there, a gold dish, they'd have the coals in it, and they would sprinkle the incense. And so when the priest would come into the holy place and minister day by day, they always sprinkled the incense upon that. Now, and as I just mentioned unto you, it was one of the duties of the priesthood to sprinkle the incense upon the altar. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 28 will tell you of that. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says, and I quote, "In the offering of incense, burning coals from the altar of the burnt offering were borne in a censer, put upon the altar of incense," which was that golden altar, the altar of incense, "and the fragrant incense was sprinkled on the fire. And the smoke came up." I just described that to you. But on the, you know, on the day, great day of atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies just once a year, that he would get another censer, that little golden container, and he would take the coals from off the altar of the incense, put it in a container, and he would enter in to the Holy of Holies the once a year on the Day of Atonement. He would set the censer on the Ark of the Covenant, and he would sprinkle the incense upon that fire, and the smoke would come up and cover the seat. And according to Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12 through verse 14, that smoke helped cover and protected the high priest as he ministered in the holy place. And so incense was a prevalent use through the Old Testament scriptures. And in the worship of God, the priesthood was very much involved with the matter of incense. What does that mean to our text? What does that mean to you and me? Look at Revelation chapter 5. Let's consider the context, and then we'll come down to the verse itself, and we'll make application, we trust. And I pray it'll bless your heart. Revelation chapter 5. Let's notice the context. With that background in mind, notice what we find here. In verse 1 through verse 2, John sees an angel with a sealed book. Look at it. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, as seals with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loosen the seals thereof. Here's a sealed book. Verse 3, verse 4, nobody was able to open the book. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. That's a sad situation. John's greatly upset. But there was one who was worthy. Verse 5 through verse 7. Jesus was worthy and he took the book. Notice what it says. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. By the way, if you know anything about this book, when he opens up those seals, great judgments come upon the world. But notice here as we continue our text, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, so Jesus was the only one who could take this sealed book. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And so we see them fall down, notice the praise, and they sung a new song, verse 9, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So you have this context of this book. He gets the book, the elders and the beasts fall, praise is given. Our text, verse 8, is right there. Let's consider this just a moment. Now, I understand there are different perspectives of the interpretation and application of the book of Revelation. That's not my intent to try to expose and reveal all the truths of the book. I'm just looking at verse 8 and give you a few thoughts. Take it or leave it, but consider what's going on because it involves the matter of the incense at the end of the verse. Just a couple things we want to point out to you. We find that there are, when he had taken the book, the four beasts, it's mentioned that they fell. These four beasts are first mentioned in chapter 4, book of Revelation. So look at verse 6. Let's get something about these beasts. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Do I know who these beasts are? I can't give you every definition. I can't give a full explanation. But these may well represent the angelic hosts. That's what it seems to represent, the angels of God. Now then also we have mentioned in our text in verse 8, not only the four beasts, but the 24 elders, which are 24 elders. These were first mentioned in chapter 4, verse 4. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. What's the application? What's the interpretation? Well, I'll just tell you, for me, from my perspective, this may well represent all the redeemed. You say, why are there 24? It's a matter of opinion. Some say it represents the 24 courses of the priests as expressed in the Old Testament. Others will say because it's a representation of the redeemed, it's those out of the Old Testament, New Testament, therefore it represents the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. I don't know why there's 24, but we find four beasts and we find 24 elders. The beasts seem to represent the angelic host. The elders seem to represent all the redeemed. Now you'll also find in our verse as we go through verse 8 that the elders fell down and every one of them had harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they had harps and these vials, and you know what? They sang a new song, as it says in verse 9, and we already looked at that. So if we get this scene in our mind, get this picture, the one has taken the book, the beast and the elders, they fall. But in the hands of the elders are these vials. What does it say? Let's look at the terminology. Every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Remember the title of the message? Christian incense. Does it make sense? The word vial simply means bowl. That's what it means in the Greek. It's a word for bowl. It is a shallow cup. They all had these shallow cups or bowls, and they were full of odors. The word odor for the Greek term here means incense. That's what it was. Any odoriferous substance burnt in religious worship. And for this Greek word, the main root of this word comes from the idea to offer or to kill in sacrifice. So you have to keep in mind, in a religious sense, when incense was offered, it was a sacrifice. It was an offering unto God. And so here we find the 24 elders falling down. They have the little bowls full of incense. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament word for this word odor is translated as the word fragrance. So you get the idea behind incense. And so the Scripture describes for us in verse 8, the last part of the verse, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't that an interesting statement? That these fell down and they had golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Consider David's thoughts. In Psalm 141, verse 2, the first part of the verse, David said, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." Turn, if you will, to the chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. Go over a few pages. This is mentioned again in a slightly different vein, but we find the same concept. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." You see any imagery there of a priest coming to the altar of incense and offering it? Well, here the angel comes. And it's with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." Hopefully, with all this in mind, you can understand why I have entitled the message "Christian Incense." And why this involves the subject of prayer. So with the setting, I want to go to the next point, which is this matter of prayer. Look at the last part of verse 8 of our text. "They all had every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." First of all, what's prayer? Prayer by definition is to make a request of. It is to ask a favor. It is to ask a question. And there are different applications of what prayer may be involving. But the Greek term means that very thing, as I just suggested unto you. But in further expression, it certainly is that of a petition, which is a prayer for oneself. Or it could be a matter of intercession, a prayer for others. By the way, when you pray, it is okay to pray for yourself. I've met individuals through my life that said, "You know what, I think it's selfish to pray for myself." I think you ought to pray for yourself. You ought to make petition before God. But then there's intercession, and that's prayer for others. And so you ought not be just praying all about you, but you need to be praying for others as well. And so this mentions that these are the prayers of the saints, that which of were of petitions, those of intercession. Do you know that prayer may also be a matter of praise and worship? You can praise God through prayer. And so it may be also that, and listed into several categories sometimes, but listed as confession, adoration, and thanksgiving. Different aspects to prayer, but it is a matter of simply coming before God and pouring out your heart before Him. The word prayer is found 114 times in the King James translation. Do you know that Jesus taught His disciples to pray over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through verse 12, and other places of the Scriptures, we're taught to pray. Do you think that we should have some sort of concern about prayer as God's people? Does it matter? It certainly does. And we see in the passage that these golden vials were full of the odors, full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so the subject of this passage at the end there deals with prayer. Then there's something else I want to mention, and this is the third point of the message. That is, you'll find saints and sinners. It says, which are the prayers of the saints. There's no mention of golden vials filled with the prayers of the wicked, but the prayers of the saints. Is there a distinction between the prayers of saints and the prayers of sinners? I invite you to turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. What I'm attempting to demonstrate to you is our passage down at the end deals with prayer. And it deals with the prayers of the saints. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18 says, I have a wrong passage. Let's go to verse 29. Maybe this will be right. The Lord is far from the wicked, but heareth the prayer of the righteous. See that? I found the other one while I was looking at that. Go back to verse 8, not 18. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. What do you find in these two references? Verse 8 says, you know what? Even if a wicked person would bring a sacrifice before God, God doesn't like it. God's sick of it. But the prayer of the upright is His delight. Does God like to hear you pray if you're saved? Verse 29 had said, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. What do you find in our passage? You find that these are the prayers of the saints. Go, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. What did Peter express in verse 12? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Isn't that good news? And His ears are open unto their prayers. That's good news. But against the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What do we find in our passage in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8? We find a picture, an end time revelation. John sees this vision. And he sees these 24 elders fall down, and they have golden vials, and in these golden vials incense, which the Scripture says are the prayers of the saints. It deals with prayer, and it deals with the prayers of saints. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that God takes notice of all of His creation. God does love His creation. He knows their condition. But you know what? His ear is tuned in, especially to hear the prayer of His children. You know, you can take a room full of mothers and their babies, and there can be so much squawking going on and noise and everything else. And if a baby cries out, the mother whose baby it is can pick that out of all the cries in the room. Do you know why? Because the mother is tuned in to the baby. And I believe that what we find in this passage is that God pays attention to His children. And He hears their cry. He doesn't ignore the rest of creation. God will take care of the creation. He does know and understand. But you know what? These are the prayers of the saints. Isn't it good to know that you have a listening ear? You ever try to talk to somebody and they just glaze over and tune out. We say, well, we didn't have their ear. I want you to know, dear Christian friend, that you have God's ear all the time, day and night, every day. You have the ear of God because God delights in the prayers of His people. He does. Now, we find saints and sinners. Well, let's consider for a moment saints and their prayers. The fourth point of the message. These are the prayers of the saints. So what about saints and prayers? I encourage you, dear Christian friend, to pray. Now, we look at this passage. Some things I would like to enumerate. Number one, I would assess that saints have prayed since it's noted in the text. Since there are prayers that's being contained in these golden bowls, I assume some have prayed. Absolutely is the case. Secondly, I derive that God recognizes the prayers of His people. Did you ever stop to consider that? Much like as is expressed about tears over in Psalm 56, verse 8. Have you ever read that verse? Where it says, Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Isn't that interesting? That the children of God, every tear that you shed, God writes it down. Now, I don't understand all that. But the psalmist said, are they not in thy book? And my friend, he pays attention to your tears. He pays attention to your prayers. Because we find that God delights in that. These are the prayers of the saints. Saints have prayed, and He keeps them in golden bowls. Now, I also suggest to you in the third sense that it would appear that all the saints pray for the 24 elders, which I believe are representative of all the redeemed. Each of them had a vial. Say you're stretching the text. Perhaps, but I just submit unto you that we as God's people ought to pray. Every one of us pray. And there wasn't 23 vials and 24 elders. They all had vials. And then, in the fourth sense, I would submit unto you that as it was the duty of the priest to offer up the incense, we who are priests, you look in chapter 5, verse 10, and it said we're made kings and priests. It was the duty of the priest to offer up incense. Shouldn't we offer up incense? Doesn't that mean we should pray as God's people? Because the golden vials are full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so as the priest would offer up incense, we too should offer up our prayer to God. Let me give you five things in regard to prayer as we find it in relationship to this text and to the matter of incense. Number one, it's a type of sacrifice with which God is pleased. You know, there are some sacrifices God doesn't like. We've already mentioned that in regard to the wicked. There's some things we might, as God's people, bring before God that God isn't too happy with. But I want you to know that the prayers of the saints, which is the incense before God, you know that's a sacrifice? And remember the word deals with sacrifice? The word deals with worship? The word incense? I think it's a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. Secondly, it's in the imagery. It is a sweet smell to the Lord. Have you ever smelled something that was pungent? Oh, we turn away. Oh, that's nasty. You ever smell something sweet? Again, I mentioned all of you probably put on a little bit of deodorant, a little bit of stuff, you know, in college, we call it foo-foo juice. And, you know, you put on something so that you'd smell nice. You want to smell sweet. You don't want to be offensive to your chums, as they say on television. You know, you can read in the Scripture about the sacrifices of God and the burnt offerings that the smoke comes up before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. Now, I don't know how to express God's nostrils and God's smelling, but you know what? The Scriptures describe as that, and I know that that's putting man's attributes on a holy God, but the Scriptures describe it as smelling it and go, oh, that's just sweet. When the incense is burned, God breathes in and says, I like that. That's sweet to me. That's a perfume to me. I believe the sacrifice of God is something that's well-pleased there in the matter of incense. It's a sweet smell to the Lord. Thirdly, in the imagery, it was contained in the most precious of metals. You ever stop to think about that? This golden vial wasn't made of wood. It wasn't made of ceramic. It wasn't cheap plastic. What did God put the incense, the prayers of the saints in? Golden vials. The thing most known to man as the most precious. Gold! And God keeps the prayers contained in the most precious metals. Number four, in the imagery, it's depicted as being abundant. You see, it's the golden vials full of odors. All that we would pray, that our vials would be full, and the incense would be overflowing as it's offered up before God. And of course, you'll find, by the matter of the context, that within the text they also had harps along with those bowls. And we've already made the point that they praised God in verse 9 and verse 10. And in verse 8 here in the text it says that they had the harps. But it's conjoined with praise. It's a good thing to pray, and it's a good thing to praise. You can do them together. And God's honored with that. And God takes in a deep whiff. I like that. I like that. Does it make sense to you that your prayers are incense before God? That it's a Christian incense? Let me close by submitting a few points. I invite you to turn back to Psalm 102. Just a few thoughts in closing. The first thought is this. God hears the cry of His people in need. We've already illustrated that in a couple other references, that God delights in the prayers of His people and hears and responds. Psalm 102, look at verse 16. When the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Now I submit unto you that verse 17, where he talks about the prayer of the destitute and how God will not despise, is in regard to His people by the matter of context. Because it talks about in verse 16, which I read, about God coming to Zion, He's going to appear in glory. Verse 18 talked about how that these are the people that will be created and they are going to praise the Lord. And so we find nestled right in there the matter that God will not disregard your prayer. God will not despise your prayer. I believe that God will hear your prayer, dear Christian friend. You burn your incense before God, as it were, by prayer. God will take a smell of it. He will bring it in, and He will hear. God hears the cry of the prayer and those people in need. Secondly, you may turn to Philippians chapter 4 if you desire to do so. I believe that we are taught in the Scripture that God's people are to pray. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God's people are to pray. Worry over nothing. Pray over everything and let God's peace rule in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Those golden vials were full of incense. It wasn't lacking. God's people need to pray. As a matter of fact, if you'll go back to Romans chapter 12, the third item I want to bring to your attention, Romans chapter 12. God's people should continue in the attitude of prayer. Oh, I know, we'll take time and we'll pray before God, but you know, throughout the day, we should still have the attitude of prayer. I've said it many times just as a tongue-in-cheek illustration, but you know what? You need to pray. You get on the loop here in Memphis, you better be praying. But you certainly can't get on your knees and close your eyes, can you? That's where the Scripture comes in. You can make a comical application, watch and pray. Because you need it if you get on the old racetrack out there. But you realize, my friend, That, yes, we have our times of prayer before God. We might get alone in our prayer closet. We might have time with the Lord. But you know, throughout the day, we still need to have the attitude of prayer. As you travel to work, as you clock in, as you do your job, as you do whatever God has for you that day, and you come home and you go to a place of recreation or whatever you do, you know what? We still need to have the attitude of prayer. In everything that we do, everywhere that we go, the attitude of prayer. Romans 12, verse 12 gives us an indication of that, where he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Note the end of the verse, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. One last verse, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. After he talks about putting on the armor of God and serving the Lord and doing what you ought to do, he says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The attitude of prayer. My friend, when a decision arises, do you stop to pray? When troubles come, do you stop to pray? When blessings come, do you have the attitude of prayer? When you go through your day, do you have an attitude, a sense of communication with God? I urge you today to realize that we need to pray, and not just when things are bad. We need to pray at all times, and when we're not in the position of prayer, have the attitude of prayer. And then I submit unto you in the fifth thing as I close. The prayer of God's children are special to the Heavenly Father. We read in Revelation chapter 8, and we read in our text, that God pays special attention to His children's prayers. They're kept in golden vials, and they're offered up as incense before God, as a sweet-smelling savor. You say, why should I pray? Because God wants to hear you. I like communicating with my children. I want to hear them. If they have a need, I want to hear them. If they have a praise, I want to hear it. If they have a heartache, I like to hear it. That's just the heart of a parent, isn't it? You know, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us as much as He loves His own Son. And dear Christian, He wants to hear you. So if you're at that point where you're saying, why pray? What's the point? God doesn't hear. God doesn't answer. I'm ready to give up. Would you remember this verse? Would you remember that there are 24 elders with the golden vials full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints? It is worth your time to pray. God likes that. And so I say this and I finish. May we be motivated to pray. May we pray well. What do I mean by praying well? Our prayer should be in accordance with the will of God. In other words, God is not a glorified Santa Claus. It's just not a matter of, well, I'm going to pray to God and say, gimme, 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 gimme. We, in our prayers, should know the will of God, the mind of God, and seek God's direction so that when we pray, we'll say, God, not my will, but yours be done. This is for your honor, for your glory, and I want to do it for you, not for me. Your will. And if we pray anything according to His will, the Scripture says we know that He hears us. That's what I mean by praying well. And so, may we be motivated to pray. Pray well, and pray continually. I believe that we have an indication in the text. I won't die on this hill. But I think we have an indication in the text that prayer is Christian incense before God. Would you receive it as that? Would you at least embrace it so it'll speak to your heart, so you'll be moved to pray? And if you're here and you're lost, you know what? You need Jesus. You need the Savior. He alone can give you eternal life. And the prayer that he'll hear is, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Would you be saved today? If you're saved, would you be encouraged to pray? Because God likes it. God loves it. Sweet smell to him. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Appreciate your patience. Turn to number 433. Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. I pray that you overcome any frailty of my speech. And Father, I ask that this word would be undaunted in the hearts of individuals, that, Lord, there be no hindrance. That your people would be encouraged to pray and to know how much you love to hear our prayers. And Lord, our hearts go out to those that are lost, that you convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, that today they might be saved. May we who are saved be a people of prayer. Forgive us where we fall short in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.